praise the Lord. I had an interesting incident on the way up here. I was driving down the highway, minding my own business, and all of a sudden I saw a bubblegum machine following me. And after he followed me a couple of miles, I was just waiting to get to an exit and to find out what he wanted. Maybe he wanted to give me some chewing gum, I don't know. Then I know, Brother Paul's not here today. Thus is forbidden here. He said, with his loudspeaker, pull over on the side and park. And so I did, and he asked for a license and registration, and I presented that. And he says, you know why I pulled you over? I assume I was speeding a little. I didn't have my wife next to me to tell me to slow down. And I said, you know, I was in a hurry to go to a Christian camp, and I'm the pastor of a church in Brooklyn. I tried to lay on as many religious expressions as I could speedily, and it worked. He started quoting scripture to me to find out if I was really a pastor, if I knew my Bible. So he comes out with, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he wanted me to finish the verse. And I'm thinking, now, which one is he thinking about? I spring that on my Sunday school people sometimes to finish the verse. So I mumbled something quick from another verse. But what he had in mind here was in Psalm 55, which I really wanted to leave with us this morning. Psalm 55:2 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. That's the part that he quoted. And the rest is, and he shall sustain thee. And I looked that up, of course, when I got here. And I suppose, well, I've read it a few times. I've read through the Bible several times. And, you know, in these wonderful verses, the Lord reminds us of, as we read them again, and blesses us. But this phrase caught my eye in a new way then. It's in the middle of the verse, and he shall sustain thee. That speaks of continuity, right? It's not going to just happen one day or during the time you're at camp. But when you get back to heathen New York or wherever you're from, Canarsie, I'm so proud of my Canarsie people over here, the Three Musketeers. You know, it takes a lot of nerve to come out of Canarsie, Brooklyn, and come to camp where you have to be spiritual. And I think they did a good job. I'll have to confer with Eddie later on that. But my granddaughter and my two friends. You're friends, right? We're still friends? Yeah. Okay. And their sister Joanne, you know, you don't have to sit in the obscurity. I mean, there's seats here. The answer was no. Anyway, God bless her also, Canarsie. We used to tease the Waldvogels about there are more Shreks here than Waldvogels sometimes. And that happens very rarely. It didn't happen this past week. You couldn't turn around without stepping on one. But sometimes, very rarely, it has happened. And then James called me one day and he said, wait till next weekend. One year he said to me. And sure enough, there they were. God bless them all. But I want to thank the Lord for this place again and for the things that we have heard and all the prayer and the faith that reaches out not only for this time, as I said, but to continue, to sustain us, to keep us. Notice Brother Eddie prayed for the people, for the children in particular who were here this summer, that the Lord would keep them where they went now. Their homes, many of them not having godly homes. Can you imagine going back home and having parents that don't love the Lord, that won't teach you anything about Jesus, they won't take you to church? I can't even imagine that. And some of them go to homes where there aren't parents, or there's a mother only, or an aunt, or a grandma. It's hard. These people are in the world, and it'll take the miracle of the grace of God to keep them, to sustain them, to strengthen, to help them to continue to serve the Lord. What a blessing it is to learn the songs up here and to have the times of prayer and fellowship in the Lord. It's like, how would you say it? I was going to say religion concentrate, but I don't know if that does it. I know of orange concentrate, and they brag about it's not from concentrate, some of these. But we get a lot of spiritual help here, a lot, compressed. And even that, it's wonderful, but when we get home, we got to continue. We have responsibilities. We work in the churches all over this country, and I think Canada too. Is that right? God bless Canada. It's a nice place. We were there a number of times. My wife has relatives up there. And so we enjoyed fellowship up there with the people of God and family. But I do thank the Lord again for His presence here and for His goodness, and that He's kept this place all these years, and that He will keep it for His name's sake. God bless you.
I don't know how many of you are familiar with the piece that Mendelssohn brought forth, Elijah. Anyway, that Psalm 55:22 is right at a key spot there. And it really takes on a wonderful richness. It's right after the prophets of Baal have tried to call down fire from heaven to no avail. They're jumping all over and cutting themselves and calling on their God. Baal, we cry to you, hear and answer us, and nothing happens. And then Elijah, of course, is on the spot. And he calls the people to come over, come near, come to me. And then he prepares his altar. I know you know that story. And then he just prays the short prayer, Lord, be glorified here. And let the hearts of these people return to you. And it's right there. You can hardly imagine what it must have been like for him right at that moment. You know, wonder if he had any doubts at all. But right there, it's that piece comes in right before the fire falls, and that's kind of a little angelic band that sings to him, a cappella. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He never will suffer the righteous to fall, it says in his version. He is at thy right hand. Thy mercy, Lord, is great and higher than the heavens. Let none be made ashamed that wait upon thee. And then the fire falls. So who's familiar with that? Oh, I said it was a cappella. Oh, you're off the hook. No, can you play it? I don't know if you remember it. I think in the piece it's in three flats, so we want to be authentic, right? So sing with me, please. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He never will suffer the righteous to fall. He is at thy right hand. Thy mercy, Lord, is great. And
far above the heavens. Let none be made ashamed that wait upon thee.
And that's what they sang to him. What a word of encouragement. Earlier in the week, I thought of this prayer from the book Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. And Sister Aletha, actually, as I talked to her about it, and she pulled this off the internet, and I said, oh, this is the specific one that I was thinking of, and I'm so glad that she found it. I remember when I first read it that it went into my heart. So I share it with you this morning before our time together closes. Lord of immortality, before whom angels bow and archangels veil their faces, enable me to serve thee with reverence and godly fear. Thou who art spirit and requirest truth in the inward parts, help me to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thou who art righteous, let me not harbor sin in my heart, or indulge a worldly temper, or seek satisfaction in things that perish. I hasten towards an hour when earthly pursuits and possessions will appear vain, when it will be indifferent whether I have been rich or poor, successful or disappointed, admired or despised. But it will be of eternal moment that I have mourned for sin, hungered and thirsted after righteousness, loved the Lord Jesus in sincerity, gloried in his cross. May these objects engross my chief solicitude. Produce in me those principles and dispositions that make thy service perfect freedom. Expel from my mind all sinful fear and shame, so that with firmness and courage I may confess the Redeemer before men. Go forth with him bearing his reproach. Be zealous with his knowledge, be filled with his wisdom, walk with his circumspection, ask counsel of him in all things, repair to the Scriptures for his orders, stay my mind on his peace, knowing that nothing can befall me without his permission, appointment, and administration. Amen. Oh, I wanted to sing The Church is One Foundation before we... You played that before, didn't you? Okay, because we're talking about the church this morning for just a few minutes. 164. And the author of this hymn, Samuel Stone, is also the author of those little snippets or explanations, whatever you call them, in our devotional book. As you see, I like to stand, and if you would like to stand, let's stand together. Okay. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her Be seated.